move into the dark. I have this bright light. I have to create a different space so that I'm not. So hi, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT Open Coaching and Support Call. We have these at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. And these are the calls where you can come and ask whatever you want to ask. It could be questions about some content that you're starting to study. It could be questions about a particular client that you're working with. And guess what? Clients can be you or a family member or a client. So I always feel that we actually learn best by working on ourselves first and then working on our family members and other people, right? So we're not going to say, no, you can't do that. It's for you. You have to bring a real client, because we realize that people are at different stages. And quite frankly, when you bring cases to me, I prefer it to be you or a family member, because you usually know the answers when I say, what about this? What about that? What about another thing? And otherwise you go, oh, I'll ask them the next time I talk to them, right? So these are open calls where anything goes pretty much. If you have questions about your business, about getting, you know, specific ways to generate interest. I mean, it's not going to be a full-on strategy call on your business. It's more like, hey, I'm going to be doing a talk next week. I was invited. And what's the best way to try to engage clients and have them become clients, have people in the audience become clients? And then we can talk strategies that way. We will be having quarterly, you know, starting in January. I'm not sure whether it'll be January or February, but starting in 2020, we'll be doing more regular quarterly marketing type calls with me, where we'll have a business and marketing. How do you grow your business? How do you, you know, let people know about it, your expertise? And then we do bring in periodically, we bring in guest experts. So we'll get back into doing those on a regular basis, starting in the first of the year. The other thing that you can do is we can look at labs. So if you have somebody's Dutch test or you have somebody's whatever test, you can bring that on. And some people, when they're first starting, they just watch for a couple of months. They just learn and sponge it up and take notes. And the more you hear, like the more you see me going through Dutch tests, the more you're going to understand, so that when it comes about that you do one, or that one of your family members does one, or a client, that you're going, oh yeah, that's right, she said that. And then you learn and you learn and you learn. Repetition is the key to successful learning. And I'm just going to use Susan Larson as an example. When she first joined, which was 2 years ago right now, she came on and she came to all the calls, and she almost looked like a deer in the headlights at first, because somebody would bring on a Dutch test or an oat test or various kinds of tests. And she'd be like, within like 2 or 3 months, she brought one, like a friend or family member that had one. And the next thing you know, she was getting it. So don't feel intimidated if you're like, oh my God, those people know so much and I know so little. Yeah, some people have been in the program for a couple of years and they've had a lot of experience here, right? And some people have already graduated, but we still have invited them back until we start a graduate level set of calls, which we will have them separately. But for now, you've got access to people who have been, who are new, who are relatively new and are seasoned veterans and have been seeing people for a long time, which I think is a real advantage. Because if it's just a bunch of newbies, there's not a lot of, you know, new stuff you're going to learn. The disadvantage is you may feel a little overwhelmed, but you will get over it. And you'll go from feeling like, ah, what am I doing, to, wow, I really know a lot. So I'm excited to welcome you guys who are new. We aren't going to take time on this call to do introductions and all, but we will on next week's kickoff call. So I've invited everybody that's new to come to that, in addition to others who you can meet as well, so we all can get to know each other a little bit better, and I can get to know everybody a little bit better, and what your goals are, and, you know, what's prompted you to join, and what your what's going on for you. So I'm super, super excited to welcome everybody. So the way we do these calls is we do have a chat going, and a lot of folks communicate back and forth in the chat. I will admit that I have a hard time multitasking between chat and listening and paying attention. So I have other people, you know, answering, and then I'll periodically check or ask, is there anything in the chat I missed? Please ask me. And then, for the questions, I like to see you face to face. Obviously, sometimes it's not going to be possible. You might be, you know, on the way to an appointment or in the car or whatever. But I prefer that, just because we get to know each other. So if you want to open up your videos. It's really awesome when I can see a whole screen because it feels to me like, hey, I have this whole group of people and we're all connected. So if you want to open up your line, just go ahead and open up your line, your video, and we'll just make it like a big classroom kind of setting where we can see each other. So now I'm seeing people. Yeah, there's Patty and Janet and Angelica and Isabel. And who else is coming on? Eva, hi. And Lori and Lynn. Yay. Doesn't that feel better? Like we're all connected now, Kim, when we see each other, right? It feels really good. So yay, thank you. So the way these work, if you're brand new, you may not have any questions. You may have a question like, oh, where do I begin? That's fine too. If you've already got clients that you're working with and you have a lab or whatever you want to talk to me about, you ask. We do put in the email, we usually will put, hopefully it's happening still, a link to like an RSVP, are you coming? Are we doing these on these calls? That was supposed to happen on all the calls. And then if you have like something, a question or a case or something you want to go over, that way it gives us an idea of how many people are going to have questions on the call. It doesn't mean if you don't put the question in advance, you can't ask it. I was in a program once like that. And I was like, but I have a question now after Lori asked her question. Now I have a question. And you mean I can't ask it? I have to wait another month. And like, so I run my calls in ways that all the stuff I didn't like in programs that I did, I try to change in our program. And we're always open to improve, right? And you guys know who've been here for a while, you know that, oh, we'll improve this way, we'll improve that way. So I'm always open to making this the most valuable thing as possible for you guys. So the way we work is you can raise your hand and your hand will go up and I'll see it either here or on the side. And if you, you know, there's nobody talking, you have a question, just open up your line and start talking. So who wants to start? Does anybody want to just, well, we're going to do the introductions next week. So when you have a question or comment, introduce yourself, so that way everybody can remember who you are, like, especially because there's a bunch of new folks here and the new folks don't know the old folks except for the ones you met at Shine, right? So, yeah. And I'm just so excited to have all of you here. It just warms my heart. So who has questions, who has comments, who has something they want to say, who wants a success? I always love to hear that. If you have something that has gone right for you over the last week or two or month or since we've last spoken, I love to hear those first. We had this was a day of calls. Wow. We had a practice accelerator call this afternoon and we went around and shared successes. And some of the successes was, I graduated. Yay. You know, and others were, you know, client going. Say that again. Somebody said something. I didn't know what it was, but, it was really exciting. I always love to hear that. Like, oh, I have this new speaking opportunity, or I got a new client last week and it's really been fun, or whatever it might be. Or I just got married, or I'm engaged, you know, personal or professional. It helps us to stay connected because we are virtual, but I want to have that feeling that we love and support each other and they're a community. So Lynn, yay.
So I have a couple of wins. I've signed up two new clients at my highest level. So that was comforting on a root chakra safety issue. And then this weekend, I just found out last night about like my local church. So I live in a town of about 500 people. And organic is a dirty word, but I just found out they're doing what's called a vendor fair. That's what they do here. So it's like Pampered Chef, and I don't even know what half of these are. Anyway, it's that type of stuff. So I just reached out and said, hey, Dad, do you take people who have services? And so what I'm doing, and I'm taking it right from our I&E Done For You materials, is having the dehydration. I took the Word doc and I'm re-editing it for my purposes on dehydration, fairly safe topic to have as a handout. And then I'm just going to have like some chamomile tea there because chamomile is good for dehydration. Again, fairly safe, but it's getting that word out.
And you don't know how many of these unicorns are in your environment like you who have been afraid to come out of the woodwork right? And now they feel safe because, oh, okay, she's some kind of nut that's serving chamomile tea. I can talk to her, right?
Yeah, well, they already know I'm a nut because I'm the nut that lets her chickens and pigs and everything run free. And so this makes me less nutty in their eyes.
But
I just wanted to share that because we have so many resources in our materials that we can use for things like this.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you guys will get a tour and we'll have a site tour and all that kind of stuff for you. We're reorganizing the site a bit. So I'm hoping that's done by next week. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I had a meeting yesterday with the guy that's doing it and just, making it easier to find everything. So we may wait to have the tour until it's redone so we don't confuse you. But there's a ton of done-for-you resources all throughout the site that you can just take. We give it to you in a PDF form that you can just say, here you go, client, right? And that's a great way to get started. Or you can then take the Word doc. You can revamp it. You still have to, give us credit and say, hey, this was revised with permission from, but then you can use all the documents. I mean, literally thousands and thousands of pages of stuff that I've created over the last 30 years. So that's a really great way for you guys to get going. And we'll talk more and more about that stuff as we go along. So thank you. Congratulations, Lynn. Way to go. Yay. Who else? Isabel.
Hi. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. I was watching the live stream from Shine. It was great. Yeah, I loved all the talks, very inspiring, and seeing familiar faces kind of, on the stage and off the stage. So it was great. It was great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't be there, but I wish I could have been there, but it's very inspiring, all the messages. Yeah.
Awesome. I want you there next year.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. I just came back from Israel and Jordan and all that. So that was wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll have to hear about that sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I do have a question.
Sure.
So this last weekend, I wasn't there, but my husband went out to dinner with friends to celebrate a friend's birthday, and in the middle of it, right after dinner, he had an episode of what the doctor said, vasovagal syncope.
Oh my, yeah.
Where he was sweating. He was sweating like profusely. Then he was unresponsive for 5-6 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
are they sure that that's what it was? Because you want to rule out a stroke, a TIA or a full, sort of short stroke, because, vasovagal syncope is where there's usually some kind of sympathetic, like fear, change in temperature, something that causes somebody to faint. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But did he go down or was he
My friend was saying he was looking at you, but he wasn't understanding what's going on. So he didn't close his eyes or anything, but he didn't understand what was going on.
That doesn't personally, because I wasn't there. I don't know, but neither was whoever they, saw him there. But mm-hmm. I would be looking at making sure do some sort of a scan, a blood kind of scan to make sure that it wasn't a stroke.
Okay, so he went to the hospital. He did. Okay. They took him to the hospital. The doctor examined him. They did some blood work. I'm gonna call the hospital and see what
to get it. Yeah,
troponin, the CBC, comprehensive metabolic panel. But they examined him and said, "Well, I think that's what the doctor thinks what happened because he looked fine."
Was there a triggering event? Was it super hot in there?
I think he said he ate too much. Can that trigger?
That can trigger it. I mean, it certainly can, but, that's not one of the most common causes. What is Lynn saying?
Yeah, because he said he was feeling a little bit, he was full. I mean, he stuffed himself and he know mm-hmm. that he took a bite and then it was just kind of, he started feeling hot. And warm.
And they ruled out, did they do a CPK?
They, CPK, I don't know if they did CPK. They did EKG or just like briefly.
EKG or an EMG too. I mean, they should have done brain and heart.
In my opinion. Yeah.
Right, because sweaty and then, unresponsive, kind of like that. I mean, it could be a heart attack. Mm-hmm. It could be a stroke. It could be a TIA. I mean, vasovagal syncope, I guess it just doesn't seem like classic for the onset or the manifestation of vasovagal syncope. Usually that's like a full-on, you're out. Like it's a full-on fainting.
No, he wasn't out. Yeah, he was just like staring at you and not responsive. Like,
right. I mean, a seizure could be like a petit mal seizure. Mm-hmm. Is another thing that it could have been, which again, they should have done an EEG. An electroencephalogram.
Okay.
Right. Because that's basically, those are usually shorter, like mm-hmm. a petite mal is usually less than a minute. Okay. But they kind of go out of it.
Okay.
More of a petite mal would be more like there is movement. It's an active type of a seizure, you know, where there's contortions and, tongue biting and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But ECG, is it what? No.
ECG is an electrocardiogram.
Yeah, they did that, but not EEG.
EEG would be an encephalogram. EEG is an electroencephalogram to see what was going on in the head.
Mm-hmm.
They could certainly look at a CT or an MRI after the fact to see if there isn't any indication of an ischemic area in the brain.
Okay.
It sounds to me, I would more think of something brain-wise, what you're explaining, than a heart or vasovagal.
Okay.
Vasovagal is usually related to blood pressure, you know.
Yeah, like it just drop and you just...
Yeah, and then usually they just go over, right? And then when you're saying, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yeah.
That to me says more of a brain kind of thing.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the follow-ups would be some sort of EEG, but also the EEG might show more right after or during versus if it was something like an MRI or a CT, you could actually see if there were areas of ischemia. I would think an MRI better than a CT because it's soft tissue and you could see if there were some areas of low perfusion in the brain or areas where there might be a clot. You'd want to look to see, if there was any kind of aneurysm, circle of Willis, there's this particular area in the brain where mm-hmm. you can have a aneurysm and that could cause that kind of stuff, as opposed to an explosive aneurysm that would, So I would be ruling out the brain stuff. I would just make sure that he has all the stuff to do for the brain stuff. CK is something they do. CPK, they'll do that within, usually you'll see a change in that within 12 hours if you're expecting, and then it goes back to normal. If there's a heart problem, it's like lack of perfusion or damage to the heart muscle.
Okay. Like
that's a short term kind of thing to see if there was a heart attack. And some people, heart attacks present in certain ways, right? But there's atypical presentations of just about everything,
mm-hmm.
right? So if I were, I'd want to rule out what the heck happened there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they were assuming because of fullness and pressure on the diaphragm, and that would be the vagus nerve would be, I would do more research. I would want to make sure that there wasn't something going on brain-wise.
Okay. Yeah. Cause he said, I don't know if he related that to the doctor. That's what he was telling me.
He didn't know if he related that. Okay.
Yeah. If that's what happened. Cause he was like, I'm fine. He didn't even want to go to the emergency room. He's like,
okay. So he came back to before they got.
Yeah. Before he got to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to put fear, but I also don't want there to be something there that could be correctable that you could take some action on and have it be ignored and have this happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was gonna see like what's the follow-up.
Scary. Yeah. And then blood wise, look for any kind of inflammatory markers, right? C-reactive protein, homocysteine,
Isabel, how long have you been home from your trip?
I've been home. Let me
see. Your husband. How long has he been home?
Oh, he didn't go with me.
He didn't go.
Oh, he didn't go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there anything unusual? That's the other thing. You always want to, whenever something happens, you want to look at what happened and what happened right before and what happened in the weeks or months before that are antecedent circumstances that could lead to it. You know, like somebody starts with diarrhea and they're like, I don't want to have diarrhea. Well, it turns out they were in Mexico last month or a week ago or 3 days ago, right? You always want to know what happened leading up to it. So was there anything unusual in his life, an unusual exposure or an unusually stressful event that happened?
He was...
Other than having you gone. I mean, I know that's stressful.
Yeah. No, that's stressful. Yeah. That's a relief. No. He started picking up like surfing, more exercise. I mean, he was exercising more when I was gone.
So. Yeah.
And he was feeling a little bit more chest, hard to breathe.
Oh, he was.
But he's thinking because he's picking up surfing, he's like leaning his chest on the board all the time. So he's thinking that's what's causing.
Okay, so ER docs are good at emergencies getting you out of, keeping you alive in the moment. They're not real good at going back. You know, they're looking acute, what's going on right now. I would get him evaluated. I would find a neurologist.
Uh-huh.
Somebody that's trained at the Amen Clinic would be super cool. I would find a neurologist. You could even find a chiropractic neurologist that's trained by the Carrick Institute because they're very, very well-versed in what all the things could happen.
So what institute?
Carrick, C-A-R-I-C-K. So they're usually listed as a chiropractic neurologist, and they've been trained by this particular Dr. Carrick, who is like super brilliant, and he goes in and, you know, looks at every little pathway. And if you get an examination by one of them, they are examining every possible interaction in nerve pathways. Really, really good stuff.
Okay.
Really good.
I have another question.
Sure. Sorry. Yeah.
Isabel, he's surfing. Has he had a bump on his head? Has he had that board come back and knock him pretty good or gone down and hit something underwater? You could be looking at some concussion here.
I mean, he's gone down in the water. I'll ask him if anything specific that bumped his head. I know.
Yeah. She's good. Very good. Yeah. These are the kinds of questions we always want to ask, right? And this is what the ER docs should be asking. Did you have a recent head injury? Did you bang your head? You know, what are the things that could have led up to it?
Yeah, he did bang his head like 2-3 years ago. So he was dirt biking and he got thrown off his dirt bike. So he hit his head.
You know, I would get him to a neurologist who can do some imaging and see if there is something, because they may go, oh, there's an old concussion. You know, there's a little area of low perfusion over here. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, ERs are great to go to when there's an emergency and it's life-threatening and you're going to stay alive, or you have broken bones and you're bleeding out. And then you follow it up with, well, you know, what's really going on, right?
Yeah.
Does that help? Anybody else have any input or questions?
Thank you, Janet. That was really helpful.
Janet, you're really good. See, I knew. Very good. Yeah, and that's the thing, like learning to ask the thinking in terms of what are all the things that could possibly be creating this presentation. Perfect. Thank you. Let us know. Keep us posted, okay? Yeah. And also ask him a lot, you know, keep in touch with him after this happened. Is he having any headaches? Is he having any blurred vision? Is he having any areas of low sensation in any parts of his body? Does he feel a little off or brain foggy or weird?
Okay.
Okay. Right. Because a TIA can cause that, transient ischemic attack, short period of no blood to certain parts of the brain. And when you say he just went, his eyes were open, but nobody was home, basically. Right. That could be a TIA. People don't even know they're having them. People around them would notice it. And he may not have, if people around him didn't notice, he may not have even noticed that he had this blackout. Yeah. Donna?
That sort of like a really mild stroke almost.
That's what a TIA is. Exactly. It's like, they call it mini stroke, right? People don't even know. They don't usually end up with any areas where there's weakness or paralysis afterwards. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. And you watch him too, right? Watch him for any abnormal behavior that you normally wouldn't. And then, you know, when you have him evaluated, that you're observing as well, and ask him periodically any changes, any this or that. You don't want to worry him, but you also want him to be aware. Because sometimes guys are just like, oh, yeah, sure, blah, you know, blah, blah, no big deal.
Yeah, he's like, he went and rode like a 20-mile bike ride and then went surfing the next day. And so my friend, which when she was like, what did he do? Like, why is he doing that? She was very worried because she was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was there.
Yeah. And he may not have even noticed. I mean, when he came back, did he even know that he'd gone?
No, he just he like, why am I? Like,
why is everybody staring at me and why am I? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why is there someone like a nurse or doctor talking to me? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. To me, I'm not there, but just based on the history, it sounds like you may have had a TIA.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And ask them about that. I mean, you're not going to go back to the ER, but when you do that, you know, just ask them and say, look, I'd like him to be evaluated. What are causes of this? They said vasovagal syncope, but, and look up before you go with him.
Okay.
You know, look up vasovagal syncope and all the different presentations of it. So you feel.
It just like, it's not, there's not a trigger. Like that's like by a trigger.
Right, but in terms of how it presents, like it generally doesn't present as that like he's gone, right, and then he comes back. That usually, it usually presents as conked out. You know, they faint. That's what vasovagal syncope is. They faint.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the case study that I had presented at Shine was my son, and his started. He passed out, he'd pass out, he'd throw up. And they just told my son he was dehydrated. So I got his labs, like you will. Of course, he finally got them to me like 9 months later. But there was bacterial infections, liver issues, all these other things. And so I think just by looking at his labs, you're going to find so much more going on.
He actually just did his lab. He had a physical and did his lab. I'm not like, I don't really like his current doctor now, because I asked her for like homocysteine. She wouldn't do it. The cholesterol particle size, she didn't do it. So like, I need to find someone else.
You're in San Diego area. There's plenty of people like that. And if you need a referral, I can post it on our Mindshare group and say who's in San Diego, who recommends a neurologist, a functional medicine, or general practitioner in that area. And I'm sure I'll get a whole bunch of people. Yeah. Do you know Hyla Kat? No, she's in Los Angeles. Never mind. But anyway, there's a bunch of them in that area. Yeah. Okay. You don't have to deal with that kind of substandard care that they won't run a homocysteine in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy, because that's now become more of a standard of care. Whereas maybe 5-10 years ago, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just did mine on my own.
Yeah.
I have an account with Ulta Labs, so I just did it myself. But, you know, you're not alone, right? That's what I really appreciated about being in this community, is that I knew that I could come here and say, hey, this is what's going on. And
right. Right. And let us know what they say, and we can help you evaluate it, right? Because you're emotional and you're involved, right? Yeah. Right. Keep us posted. Get somebody. And Amen, you know, Amen Clinic, where are they at? They're in California, aren't they? I mean, there may be some
clinic. He has six clinics.
Okay.
So there's one in Irvine.
Yeah.
Oh, Irvine's not far. Yeah.
Yeah. That's close to me. I don't know about San Diego, but yeah.
Yeah, but Irvine, San Diego and Los Angeles are really close together, so it's no big deal, right? You go to a specialist. Yeah. And Daniel Amen, he's big on spec scans of the brain, and he finds stuff like people having old traumas when they were little, and now they're having weird symptoms now, and he's finding where and then how to address it. And he does use functional medicine, and he does use nutrients and neurotransmitter precursors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he trains people, right? So if you look up Amen
Clinics.
Clinics, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think there's one in like Irvine or Newport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Costa Mesa, something like that.
they also do functional MRIs.
Functional MRI, that's the other thing. Yes, definitely a functional MRI. And that's not going to happen at your typical run-of-the-mill neurologist, but you will get that at a clinic like that, right?
And then there are some other places, Isabel, that, because I had one done for my brain and my neck from my car accident. So there are places you might want to check to also. I forgot the name of the MRI, but I can find out for you because it may be less expensive.
Well, functional MRI is I think what you really want to do. SPECT scan is the other where they do that special brain imaging. Okay. But functional MRI is a good one, right? There's just a typical MRI, but there's certain things they're doing to, yeah. And if you were to go into something like an Amen clinic and say what happened, they're going to want to dig, right? They're going to want to dig because that's what they're trained to do.
Okay.
Okay. I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. Sorry. Cause I have to go to a meeting. Okay. I have a client, and thank you, Isabel, for answering my questions in the group chat or on Facebook, but she has a fatty liver, 20 centimeters, and it said, heterogenic, possible fatty pancreas.
Mm.
Her CRP is 23. The SED rate is 38, and that's what I couldn't recall. SED rate reflects what?
It's another inflammatory. It's erythrocyte sedimentation rate, and it's another inflammatory marker. And it should be below 20.
Below 20, okay.
And SED rate, the range is below 3. Ideally, it's below 1.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. So it's pretty high, huh?
It's very high.
Okay. So would that be from the fatty liver? That has to do with blood flow, the SED rate?
You know, it has to do with inflammation, and they're kind of, they're not specific markers, right? There's certain markers that might be specific to gut inflammation. There may be others that are specific, like homocysteine is specific, you know, in terms of precursor to cardiac and brain flow.
Oh, okay.
So but these are like generic, and, you know, they're generic enough. It could be an autoimmune process, but given she has fatty liver, it could be related to that. If her liver is inflamed and her pancreas are inflamed, you know, these would be elevated.
Well, yeah.
If you look at the liver enzymes,
No, she doesn't have that. She gave me what they had done and I sent her a list. And so the doctor's sending her to a GI on Friday. And, you know, cause I want a liver panel, GGT, CBC with differential.
Right.
And then a full diabetic or diabetes panel.
Okay, add to that amylase and lipase. Those are for pancreatic markers, amylase and lipase.
Okay, that's what lipase. Yeah.
But a CBC and a liver panel are part of just your routine annual blood chem. So I don't understand.
Well, with the differential, because I know she won't be able to afford to do like all the gut testing and stuff.
CBC with differential is $25.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, her doctor can run it. I mean, at least it shows the monocytes, all this other stuff to see if there's gut infection.
Exactly.
I mean, I know the basic, but I was just like, when it said fatty pancreas, I was like, holy crap. So let's get, you know, some blood sugar panels and stuff.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And, oh, her gallbladder is full of stones, 1.8 centimeters, and it's contracted. So it's diseased. And she did start eating organic and making these changes, but I was
she overweight. She overweight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you get her to do even a 14-hour, 16-hour fast and then just do this regularly at 24-hour, 48-hour fast? That's the best thing for helping a gallbladder like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna meet with her. She's actually my sister-in-law, and she just came back from Egypt and stuff, and had this gut pain and stuff, and she finally got her blood and ultrasound back. So, you know, she's gonna step it up because she just saw her mother deteriorating, you know, from this. So,
yeah, and good numbers. You know, the fact that you remembered about GGT, that's important. So, you know, good call on what you want to order. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then Isabel gave me advice for liver flush, but I should make all the dietary things
right?
first.
Yeah, do right? some stuff first, because when if I don't know if there's any stones stuck in the bile duct or how big those stones are. If they're all little tiny stones stuck in the gallbladder, not a big deal. But if any of them are large enough to obstruct the common bile duct, or if any of them are already partially into the common bile duct, you do have to be careful, because the liver flush will cause the contraction and you could get stone stuck. It's not a common occurrence, but you do want to make sure that if it's all little stones, it's probably not a big deal. But
well, it said 1.8. So that would be, I guess, the largest they saw.
Yeah.
And the common bile duct, I think, was 3.
Okay. So there's some room there. But I would say start with some basic changes to clean up first. Like even Isabel's cleanse, there's a whole week worth of just changes that you make to get you up ready. The stone softening stools, the stuff, the apple cider vinegar, or the malic acid and all. Those are great things to do, whether or not you're going to do a flush, just to soften those things down so that they don't risk blocking the duct.
Yeah, because I'm afraid they're going to tell her the GI, he's going to want to do, you know, gallbladder remover. And I was like, you don't want that. And she doesn't want surgery. She doesn't want medication. She has high blood pressure, but that's because of the fatty liver, I'm sure. That's backed up blood pressure, correct? So, could be. And, of course, just her stress level from everything she went through.
Right. Parasympathetic, get her into parasympathetic, teach her about the importance of that as often as she can. You're not going to get a gallbladder contraction when you're in a parasympathetic state. It's just going to be nice and easy, right?
Yeah. She's going to come to the house and I'm going to teach her some grounding and things like this. And
good.
You know, but I just never seen a fatty pancreas. I was like, wow. So that's really blood sugar problems, correct?
Could be. I mean, you know, certainly the pancreas secretes because has the exocrine function and the endocrine function, right? The endocrine is the insulin and glucagon, and the exocrine is the digestive enzymes, right? So, yeah.
And she's like, oh, but I do this and this and this. I go, you know what? Your fatty liver and fatty pancreas are telling me exactly what you're putting in your mouth.
Pull out your blood sugar meter, put in a new, clean it up well and put in a new thing, or get her a new, what do you call it? Some of those disposables, those are always good to have around if you want to test other people without using your own Lansing device. Just get the disposables. You can get them for like $3 on.
I have boxes. I have boxes of blood sugar testing stuff from my mom that I'm donating to people.
You can't do it legally unless you're licensed to touch people. If you're a nurse practitioner or a doctor, you know, whatever. But if you're not, you cannot actually test somebody's blood sugar. So you hand them the Lancet, you show them how to do it on you, you hand them the Lancet and you tell them to do it, right? And then you hold up the thing to them and they put the little thing on there and you get some numbers. They realize how easy it is and you can just keep them there for a little bit and watch it, right? You can even test them there while you're talking to them. You can say, here, have an apple. You know, and 15 minutes later, you test them again and you have them test again. So you can actually get some good data that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, I'll give her all that stuff. So, okay. I just want to make sure I was heading the right direction.
Awesome.
And again, thank you, Isabel. Okay. I got to go.
Enjoy your appointment. Bye.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Who else? Let's see. Okay, so I don't need a license to or anything to promote myself this way. I didn't miss the beginning part of it. Oh, this is good, right? Let me answer some of these questions. Let's see. Is Carrie Vines here too? Hey, Carrie. My t-shirt. Yes. I was going to go for a run and it's been so hot. I usually go in a little tank top type of thing. And I was like, oh, it's cool this morning. I need a t-shirt. And I found this in my closet, my little Buddha thing. Isn't that cool? It's fun. So anyway, I'm still wearing it. I haven't changed since we don't have the ability to smell each other through, Zoom. I could still be wearing my running clothes. No worries. That's the beauty of doing online coaching, by the way. Let's see. Any studies already submitted? This is not a case study call, so this is really like, and I don't know. Did we have anything submitted? No? Okay. I usually get them in my thing and I see them. So I loved your pictures. Okay. Okay. So Patty, how do I get started with new clients without being certified? Should I just start doing talks instead? Okay. So doing talks with Patty. There she is. Patty, doing talks is a great way to get started because you just get known in your community, right? If you're not comfortable calling yourself a health coach, there is no real, you know, legal certification, but you can also just call yourself a health educator, right? Everybody's allowed to educate, right? I can be a carburetor educator. I can be a health educator. I can be a finance educator. So you're not going to get into any gray areas. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know what the legalities are in each state. Then you won't get into any issues, right? But doing talks in your community is a great way to get people going. And you pick a topic, you just go out there and you say, hey, church, you know, if you belong to a church, you belong to a community center, you belong to the YMCA, you belong to a health club. You say, I'd love to give a talk about, you know, how blood sugar imbalance affects people's whatever. And they'll go, okay, sure. You go in there, you do a talk. And my recommendation is you always have a call to action. What does that mean, a call to action? It means at the end of this, you want them to do something for them and you want them to do something where they're going to follow up with you. It could be, hey, I'm offering, you know, five free educational sessions this month to help people get started on a healthier way of eating. If you'd like to schedule with me, you do. And then in the site, which is open to everybody already, there's something called the Practice Building Success System. And there's a couple of places where we teach you how to do an enrollment conversation, how to go from having a consultation with somebody to making an offer so that you feel very congruent. And sometimes if you follow that process, they go, how do I work with you? What's the next step? I really want you to help me more. Is it possible? Right. And then you're like home free. And if not, then you go, hey, you know, I'd love to share with you. Is that okay with you? I share how we can continue to work together. Here's what I see. You know, you need some education here, some help with healthy food preparation, help with putting together healthy kids lunches, whatever it is. And here's what I can offer you. And you can offer them a three session package. You can offer them one paid consultation if you're just getting started. So there's two things that everybody can get started with in the Practice Building Success System. One is there's a set of six modules that I put together, and one of them is on packaging your genius, I think it's what we call it. And it's different ways that you can set up. Advanced would be you have this, you know, like Isabel has, like a calm your gut fire or, you know, do your liver detox or whatever program, which you need education and all that. You're not there yet if you're just starting out, but where you can do is a package of three coaching sessions with somebody or a single coaching session, which I don't advise, you know, having them pay you one at a time, because then you have to sell them every dime on paying you for the next one. You know what I mean? Package of three. And so we have all that in there in the Practice Building Success System. So that's a good place to get started. The other place is some guest talks. There's one on enrollment conversations in my educational piece in one of those six. And then there's Bill Barron. And then I think we might have one with Sharla that talks about that. And then there's another one. There's at least three of them in there that talk about ways that you can structure having a conversation with people that leads to them wanting to work with you. And so if you go in there, you'll be able to see that. And talk in your community, right? Do you have groups that you're associated with? Do you belong to like a women's group, a mother's group, a celiac group? Or
no, I'm in an in-between kind of group now. I'm just graduated my youngest. And so I am part of the community. I do at the gym. I think there's opportunities there because I was a Silver Sneakers coach there. So I did
some nice.
So that's an option. And I just, whenever I'm out and about, I was at a conference on yesterday and there was a woman and she started sharing about her stomach issues at lunch. And I asked her, started asking her questions. She said, gosh, can I work with you? And she's not even from this community. She's so
that's awesome.
But she gave me her information. She said, could you please get back with me? I've been dealing with this for years. So I seem to find that kind of Awesome. So it's just wherever I am at, somebody comes and asks me about what
they're doing. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the best way. I always tell people, where do we find clients? I go, the produce aisle of the grocery store.
That's right.
You just fill up your cart, even if you hang out there for 3 or 4 hours, you fill up your cart with produce and you walk up and down and people go, wow, what are you going to do with all that? You know, or you see people that are picking up the kale going, and you say, hey, can I help you with that? You know, yeah, I just heard about kale on radio. Is this kale? And then you start a conversation with them, right? And then they go, oh, wow, can you help me?
Okay.
Right. And if they don't say, oh, wow, can you help me? You can say, hey, you know, if you'd like, I'd love to set up, you know, let's get on the phone for 15 minutes and go through what you need. And let me see if there's a way that I can help support you. And it's a great way to build a business.
Great. Great. That's good.
Awesome. Yeah. Good job. The in-betweenies. So you mean like the people, the empty nester club?
Yeah. Well, almost empty nester. Still have two living here, but they're kind of going in directions, getting ready to fly the coop.
Fly the coop, right. They come back.
They
whenever they need money,
yeah.
Whenever they hurt themselves and they need mama to give them a hug. So they do come back.
Yes.
And even when they're long distance, my one in DC, I just did this to my shoulder. I looked it up, but what else should I do? What should I eat? What nutrients do I need? You know, so right. It's wonderful. Good for you.
Only they would listen, right? I'm just
My older one listens. My younger one sort of listens.
Mine's flip-flop. My younger will listen, but my oldest will not.
And he won't.
Thank you for the information.
You're welcome. All right. Who else has questions or comments?
I have a question, if you're ready.
Yeah, oh, there you are. Okay.
I just got off the phone with a really good friend who has just gotten confirmation of early Alzheimer's.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So, she's a good friend, so I've been kind of telling stuff along the way, and it's not gone very well. And she's also diabetic on insulin. So I kind of felt a little overwhelmed. It's like, okay, where do I start? Because I know a lot of the issues she's going to have to deal with. She's a polio survivor. And she depends on other people to do things. And her husband does the cooking and he doesn't like anything green. So okay. I've already addressed that a little bit.
That has to be addressed, right? Changing belief systems, having him see the severity of it. But it's really clear from what you just said that she is on a diabetic, that that's affecting the brain, right? And you can seriously slow down the progression of or halt the progression of Alzheimer's by addressing insulin resistance.
I mentioned that I talked to the daughter because she changed the phone over so I could talk to her daughter so she would remember more because I did recommend Dale Bredesen's book, The End of Alzheimer's.
It's a great
book.
That might
be a good way to start. And also Dr. Perlmutter has a docuseries starting tomorrow on Alzheimer's. So I'm going to call them back and recommend that.
Recommend that, yeah.
But I told her that they're calling it type 3 diabetes. And the daughter was saying, well, she's keeping it pretty well under control. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And she says, well, it's not usually going, it's usually like in the 130s or 140s in the morning fasting. And then it doesn't usually go above 175 during the day. And at least she's keeping it below 200. And so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where, if they're open to it, that's where you present them with information. Now, Bredesen's book is great, but unless she's in that mind, it's very detailed. It's very, you know, it's an in-depth book. So it may be a little bit over the top.
I think the daughter would have to kind of help.
The daughter would have to.
So.
Yeah. The daughter would have to read it and convince her. But I think maybe watching something, you know, like watching this docuseries could be, but again,
that's perfect timing.
Those doctors go a little bit fast and furious and a lot of deep information that may be too much for her. So is there a way you can do a little Google search to try to find some articles from Medline where they talk about it and you just take your highlighter and you highlight paragraphs in there. Okay. Another book is Alzheimer's, What If There Really Was a Cure? And that was written by an MD whose husband had Alzheimer's. And she started with very simple stuff like MCT oil in his oatmeal. Right? So some of the things to just get a little bit of the brain back on, and then they're more open to, oh, that helped a little bit. Bredesen's is great, and it may be helpful if you were to, you know, kind of highlight read page, you know, 27, the third paragraph down. This is a really good one that indicates some of this stuff. And you need to find something that shows that, yeah, keeping it below 170 is not good enough. Mm. Right? Right? Yeah. And that's the difficult part. I went through this with my sister. My youngest sister has Down syndrome. She's 42. She lives with my third youngest sister, who's like 59 or 60. And my sister started to say that they think she's getting Alzheimer's, that she's got short-term memory loss. And it's very common with people with Down syndrome, you know, to have cardiac and brain issues. And so I said, okay, here's the deal. I actually sent her a copy of the Alzheimer's, What If There Really Was a Cure. I sent her papers on talking about insulin resistance and gluten intolerance and blood sugar. But her blood sugar's fine. The doctor said it's 85. Well, that doesn't mean that it stays 85 when you feed her her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which they do, and her Ronzoni macaroni, and they don't give her green vegetables. So it was really hard. I mean, I finally saw my sister after a couple of years, and it was devastating to see that she is just so out of it and her memory is so shot at 42, you know, and because they get it early, right? They're not willing to take her off of gluten. You know, she's sitting there at the table at this wedding, eating the bread, and nobody's willing to do the things they need to do for her. And it's really a challenge. So it's really getting to people to see, you know, the combination of Alzheimer's and diabetes. That's not a pretty picture for the future. No. You know, in fact, it's devastating, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I told her about the quote about how there, you know, if there's 36 holes in the roof, you have to work on all of them. And I told her it's complicated and you kind of have to be pretty committed to doing the benefits. But I did preface all that with saying that, you know, at least Dale Bredesen has had reversal of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And I also told her, I said, this is a 30-year process. It's not just starting now. It's been going on for
a long time. And also that it's a process and there's 36 holes, but if we can plug the biggest one, which if she's already got diabetes, that hole for the blood sugar hole is huge, right? Yeah. Maybe the exposure to glyphosate is one of the smaller holes that you can go back to, but you got to start with the biggest ones. And the connection between blood sugar imbalance and Alzheimer's is huge.
Right. Huge. And also she'd already been recently put on B12 shots and I got her some of the patches and I just took them over last weekend. So that should be somewhat helpful.
That should be helpful, right? And then identifying some of the other holes, right? So one of the holes is a B12 deficiency. A lot of times it's stomach acid and intrinsic factor, and autoimmune goes commonly with Alzheimer's.
She's been on PPIs forever.
Yeah, so there.
B12 absorption. You know, she's a polio survivor, so I don't know. I've been afraid to get into that very much because I think there's a chance that sphincter is affected by the polio. She's fully involved on the lower half.
Yeah.
So I've always been afraid to address the PPIs in case, because it got pretty serious and I don't know the details, but I couldn't recommend she get off of them.
No, you couldn't. You should never, actually. Nobody should ever unless you prescribed them. So just to be really clear. And being careful that you don't put her on stomach acid when you have a suspicion that the sphincter is paralyzed, right? It may not be just a little bit of weakening that with the stomach acid, it's going to go back. But you can do things to help support rebuilding that lining, right? So the DGL and plantain and slippery elm and all the things to support that. You can do things to support the deficiencies that may result from that, right? So you maybe not be able to get the stomach acid back up, but you can support the keeping the reflux from damaging the esophagus and repair the stomach lining. You can also recommend, where'd she go? Oh, everything moved. Like, where'd she go? I lost her. You can recommend things like digestive enzymes, right? To make sure that that stuff, even if we don't have enough stomach acid to get that protein digestion started, at least we can help support it better as she goes down, the food goes down into the duodenum, and she can support that better. All right. Microbiome support. So some of the stuff that she can, you can help with her. I mean, microbiome affects blood sugar, right? So really helping her with even just simple things, even if it's not customized to her, but simple things that can support, you know, coconut yogurt or, you know, sauerkraut. Sauerkraut's a hard one for a lot of people who are on traditional diets. They're like, ew, you know, unless I have it with my corned beef and cabbage, I'm not going to have it. And unless it's in a can and all the, you know, the good stuff's killed, right? So those are simple things, like really working on her gut and blood sugar are going to be biggies, right? Yeah.
May I make a suggestion, Valerie?
Sure. Sure.
The husband is doing the cooking. She doesn't cook anymore.
She can't. She's okay. Been in a power chair for years.
Okay. So let's get real.
Yeah.
He's the one that you have to get to.
Yeah. And I've gone, they're the people that we stayed with when we evacuated from Harvey. Oh. And so I took them grocery shopping and yes. I filled yes. the cart with good stuff. And then I paid for it because money is definitely an issue with them. And right. I cooked with him in the kitchen the whole time.
So you're going to have to reintroduce it again. One thing at a time. Find yeah. a favorite snack that's the worst one and find a replacement and make sure he knows where it's at on the shelf. One yeah. time.
They showed me one of the drinks they gave her when she would have blood sugar issues. And I uh-huh. looked at it and it had like either 28 or 36 grams of sugar in 8 ounces.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going, this is horrible. And they're thinking right. it's good, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It depends on how much you're going to get committed to intervention.
Right.
But if you really want to, it's going to be just that. And he'll have to be retrained so he doesn't pick those things up again and that one at a time.
Yeah. Just one.
And then I agree with finding that one thing that's the worst and replacing yeah. it. But also then going back to the probiotic foods, you're not going to obviously get them to eat that right away. So probiotic yeah. supplement, right? Get them to do like all of this stuff one at a time. They're used to the one, this for that drug mentality. Yeah. So we start with what are the supplements you can get them on that are going to repair the digestion and get the blood sugar under control. Yeah. A simple supplement that's a combo formula, like whether it's restorative formulas, blood sugar balance PX, or whether it's Pure Encapsulations has one that's a combo formula, you know, simple, because if you give them 5 things to take, it's going to make it harder, right? So keeping it really, really simple. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I think what is she in a wheelchair for?
She's a polio survivor.
Oh, okay. So she still has.
She spent most of her life in full leg braces and then overuse syndrome on the arms, and she couldn't do it anymore. So she's been in a power chair for years now. Yeah. She's in her 70s. I think she's 73.
A lot of times when people get to that age, they think that, okay, my life's over. I just have to make the best of it till I die. And that's where you can, you know, help support them in that.
She's had a rough life the last several years. She's had several sisters die, at least one, two of them with Alzheimer's. She's had breast cancer herself. So I'm having to talk with them about the caffeine too. The daughter has
probably the least of it.
Yeah.
Well, if she's on PPIs, actually it's not, it's pretty dramatic, you know?
And I don't know about the APOE4/4. I've brought that up. She's done the ancestry genetics. And I got the daughter, the 23andMe ancestry version, and we got the file, but it was only a partial file. So but they were already dropping out a lot of the stuff.
But they still have APOE. They still have the APOE in there.
Yeah, I've got to go back and look at the daughter's genetics and see what I can see out of that.
See what you can do. Run it through one of the filters. See the free filters, like the genetic genie don't have it, but you can do any of the others do. Genetic detoxification, Stratagene, metabolic healing, MTHFR support, although that one's harder to read it on. And which one was the one that has it backwards? Was it one of them has it reported wrong? And we found this out on a call and I'm like,
Genetic detoxification
has it. They have the SNP right, but they have reported it as wrong, right? They have it reported as green, green instead of red, red, whatever. So maybe run like something like, I would say metabolic healing would probably be your best bet. And it's going to cost $30, but you know, it's worth it to see because it sounds like there may be some, and letting the daughter know. Okay, you see what happened to your aunts. You see what is happening to your mother. Here's your genes. If you don't change and you don't help your mom change, it's going to happen to you too.
Yeah, I really feel like the timing is good because they've just gotten confirmation. And it's kind of like a wake-up call. And I want to help them really capitalize on that motivation right now.
Right.
And I just felt a little overwhelmed because I know the situation and I know what they're dealing with.
You know what they're dealing with. You know how hard it is. Try to stay in this is me, this is you, right? So that you don't get into that empathy in your body so that you're feeling overwhelmed and you paralyze your high-level thinker. You're extremely smart, but you're also extremely intuitive. And that combination is a great combination when you know how to manage it, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of compassion and you feel for them, but you can also stay in compassion, not empathy. So everybody know the difference when I'm saying that? And different people have different definitions, but compassion is like you know what they're feeling and you are very supportive of that and understanding of that, but you're staying in your lane so that your brain is still engaged and you can still help them. When you get into empathy and you're getting into feeling everything that they're feeling, you're a basket case like them and you go into lizard brain and you can't really help them very well. And you have an extremely well-developed wizard brain. You also have an extremely well-used lizard brain, right? So your goal is to like find that balance and that nurture and learn to, when you feel yourself getting caught up in it, that the overwhelm that they're feeling, use your breath, use your Laura tools to, you know, this is me, that's you. And you're going to be very, very much able to do this, right? And because you have that empathy, compassion piece, like Janet said, it's going to be easy enough for you to say, okay, let's do this piece first. And you'll use your wizard brain, right? Your high level thinking to go, which of these things can I get them to do that might move the needle the most? That's going to be the easiest for them to do, but might be a good needle mover, and then move it on. Working with getting the daughter's genes to see if she has that. If she doesn't, then you don't have that same leverage point. But it's likely that she does at least have a 3-4, if not a 4-4 on the APOE, right? Yeah. Is everybody familiar with the APOE gene? Is anybody not? Should I explain what that is? So APOE, you know, we have all these genes and we'll be going through, there's a whole module on it, but there's a particular gene, the APOE, and it's related to higher risk of Alzheimer's and cardiovascular disease, right? And so the good version is an APOE22, protective, protects your brain, protects your heart. 4-4 is the most dangerous, and that's where you're at higher risk of Alzheimer's, higher risk of cardiovascular. Doesn't mean because you have an APOE4-4 or your client does that they're going to get Alzheimer's, that they're going to get it. But it's the perfect storm, right? If they have that gene and they're really careful and they keep their blood sugar balanced and their gut is good and they're eating well, the likelihood of getting a full manifestation of it is low, right? Because the genes are 90, the epigenetics is 95%, the genes are about 5% at worst, right? But that 5% is pretty prominent when you're eating sugar and, you know, standard American stuff and lots of stress. And she's had the polio exposure as well. So she's got all those stress factors that make it a perfect storm for Alzheimer's, right? So what I'm recommending for Valerie to do, she doesn't have the genes on the mom who has this issue, but she does have the genes on the daughter. So if she runs this and finds out that the daughter has a similar, she'll know that the mom, that she got something from the mom, right? And so using that as a leverage point, you know, we don't want to call it manipulation, we call it leverage, but the genes make a really good leverage point for helping people to make changes that they may otherwise not do. And I've seen this over and over again. When we look at the genes and I explain the genes, they go, oh, it looks like I better stop eating gluten and stop drinking coffee. And I'm like, yeah, I've been saying that for the last couple of years, but now that you get it, right? Donna's laughing. Now that you get it, you're like, oh yeah, I better do this, right? Because your risk goes up substantially, exponentially, when you take the gene and then you compound that with really crappy diet lifestyle stuff, right? So I like using the genes, not to say so people go, oh, but because it helps them, it helps me have leverage with them to help them make the changes that I wanted them to make anyway. Personally, I don't even need the genes to know what they need to do. But I know that I use the genes and I can use it effectively as leverage point to help them make the changes that they really need to make. It's motivating. Same thing with a lot of the labs. I don't like to have people spend a ton of money on labs, but sometimes they're not going to believe that I think that this lab is going to show up this way based on my 30 years of experience. They want to see it. And when they see it, they're willing to then make the changes, right? And so sometimes people are spending $15 on the labs. And sometimes I'm like, I think this is what's going to show up. Let's make these changes first. And then we can go back and check it a second time and see if it's still there. We'll go from there. So you'll learn more and more about this as we go through all the modules. Does that help, Valerie?
It does. Thank you. What happened to me, and this is part of my personality, is I just immediately go into overwhelm because it's like so many thoughts come to my head and it's like, how do I mean, this is a mountain and I know how hard it is for them to address it for many reasons. And it's like, I just really having trouble knowing where to start. So that's why I felt overwhelmed.
You take your pen, and as those thoughts come through your head, you write them all down. Just free form, just write it all down. Write it all down. As they keep coming, you just keep writing it all down. Once they slow down a little bit, right, then you can go back. You can go back the next day, right? You can do some meditation, some breathing, and go, okay, I have a lot in that head. The problem for you is not that you don't know enough, is that you know a lot and you don't have the experience to be able to filter through it and come up with a cohesive plan. But you know, with our pyramid, right, where do we start? We start with the foundations and then we start with the digestion, right? And so when you said Alzheimer's, blah, 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 I don't know where to start. Alzheimer's, diabetes is like, slap, you know, it's right there, right? But you were like, oh, but what about APOE4/4 and what about the PPIs and what about like all this other stuff? So you write it all down. As all that floods through to you, you write it all down and then you prioritize, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with 36 holes. If you start telling them there's 36 holes and you've got to patch all of them, you're going to overwhelm them. There's 36 holes. We're going to identify the biggest ones first, and we're going to little by little, at your pace, we're going to patch them up. If you go to your roof and there's 36 holes, which ones are you going to patch first? The little bitty ones that are doing a little slow trickle, or the one that's pouring water into your living room, right? And you can make that same thing. But choosing those words carefully is going to help you to not overwhelm them with your overwhelm. You got this. You know exactly what to do. You know exactly what to do. It's just a matter of getting it all out of your head, because if not, it'll all keep flooding in. What about this? Get it all out. Maybe it'll take you 2 or 3 days to write all the things you're thinking about down, but you will do it. Does that make sense?
Yes. And this was so helpful. I mean, I literally got off that phone call and then came and joined this call. So it was really good timing.
Good. So tonight after this call, before you go to bed, dump your brain onto paper. Everything you think about, don't filter it. Don't say which one's first. Who cares? Just write everything down, then go to sleep. Okay. And then in the fresh day tomorrow, you'll go through and you'll go, which is probably the biggest hole in this roof? Which is the second biggest hole? And then you work with them on that. You can tell them there could be as many as, because there's not going to be 36 holes for everybody, but these are the possible ones he's identified. If you haven't read Dale Bredesen's book, great book, The End of Alzheimer's, and he talks about all the different factors. Why haven't we come up with a drug for Alzheimer's? Because there's not just one cause. There's not just one cure. There's up to 36 he's identified. Not everybody has all 36. You know, there's exposures to toxins. There's particular drugs. There's particular types of stressors. The biggies are things like digestive and microbiome and blood sugar, right? And nutrient imbalances and all these other things. Trauma, head trauma, you know. But not everybody has all 36. So I just want to caution you. When I heard you say that, if I was that person, I'd go, just, you know, end it for me now because I can't deal with that, right? But if you say stuff like there could be as many as, these are how many causes have been identified. Based on what I know about you and what you've just shared with me, I know that there's at least 2 that are the bigger holes that we want to start with. And then we'll keep going and maybe you'll start to get your memory back and maybe some of the others are little and small and we'll just kind of plug away at those as we see fit. You don't have to know what all 36 holes are for you to get started, right? You don't have to know that. You just have to see what the biggest ones are and get started there. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you very much. I feel a lot better.
Good. Anybody else have questions or comments or anything they want to add here? Did we completely lose you guys that are new? Like, what did I get? Here's the thing. You might feel this way on call. You're going to hear stuff over and over, and then you're going to go to your modules and go, oh, that's what they were talking about on that call when they were talking about that test. Oh, that's what they were talking about. I find that the more you're going to hear it and the more you're going to hear it in practical sense, right? People sharing their people's cases and people sharing their family members and their own stuff. It's going to all pull together in a way that you go, oh yeah, this is starting to make sense, Lynn.
So, and we've been talking a little bit about this on the chat too, because sometimes we just get so into our heads and beyond, and we start thinking about all these other big word things when maybe what we need to do, kind of like what Janet did talking with Isabel, it's like, okay, well, let's look at real life and simple things. So it's meeting them where they're at and then maybe just making a couple changes that just, you know, as you often teach us, stretches them just a little bit out of their comfort zone. But don't pull them so far out that they go, well, that ain't happening. I'm never going to do that. And then they just shut down. So it's like, what can they do? I'm working with somebody that comes to calls drinking Diet Dr. Pepper and eating Pringles. So
I still do that stuff.
Well, I didn't even realize Pringles still existed.
They were my favorite.
So, Fritos. So it's like, am I going to start taking her down this other path of lots of things? No, it's where are they and what are simple things you can do? And it's my experience that once you get them going, sometimes then they just get into it and suddenly they're like leading you. Hey, I heard about this. What can I do? Can I go here? Can I do that? And you're like, okay, great. But it's like Dr. Rita Marie always teaches us is we have to take a breath ourselves and then go, where are they and how can I bring them along the next step? And that's just kind of what we've been talking about on the chat as well.
That's great. I see Patty asking about somebody who's taken a bag full of supplements and they're really hung up on that. And so you don't need to address that up front, but you can say, you know, I see you're taking a lot of supplements. It sounds like you've been doing a lot of research. Do you know why you're taking these supplements? You know, and kind of get them to, well, I saw this summit and that summit and this one, that, and my friend this, and I read it in the New York Times and whatever. And you go, okay, great. Now, not all of those might be the perfect supplement for you. There may be some things that are for you and are not. Are you open to us? Well, keep doing it now. I don't know enough about you yet, but I want to explore so that we can help you to take just the supplements you absolutely need. And there are some lifestyle diet changes that can make you not need some of this anymore and restore balance. And then, like Angelica said, how is it working for you? I mean, since you've been taking all these supplements, do you feel better, right? How are you feeling? Those sorts of things. So it's really like a big part of this is being able to just drop in to being present with them, present with what's up for them. Because you may have this plan, like you're going to go through here and here and here, and they're not ready for it, right? They're just not ready. And they are after a while. And maybe their timeline is this rather than this. Right. And it's because there's a lot of other things, the traumas, the, you know, physical traumas, mental, emotional traumas, current stressful situations, that's helping to keep them from doing all the things at the pace you want them to do. Right. And you just slowly, okay. I had a lady, she's 87. She was literally taking 150 pills a day. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, she had this whole schedule laid out, you know, and she was just trying to do everything she could for her health, right? And we had to really work with, it was really hard for her to give some of them up. And she'd say, I don't want to take this many. And I'd say, okay, well, how about if we cut out with this? Oh, but Dr. So-and-so in his newsletter said I should take that. And Dr. This said that. And it was really a challenge, right? So we got her on some good stuff. We got some, you know, symptoms relief in terms of food. We worked with her on food and attitude. And you just have to work with them where they're at, right? And if it's somebody who's saying, you know, I've worked with some of these and I've kind of sent them on their way. Like, I'm on all this drugs and I don't want to get off the drug. I want to get off the drugs. Great. So here's some of the diet things that we can do. Here's some of the supplement things. Well, I don't want to take supplements. Okay, but you don't want to take the drugs. Okay, so we can help you with just food. It's going to take longer and it's going to take longer to get off the drugs. And you have to work with your doctor, of course, to get off the drugs. And then it was like, I can't do that. I don't want to change my diet. Don't you have like a single herb I can take that will replace these things? And like, isn't that how herbal medicine works? And I'm like, I'm afraid not. This is what I have. I'm happy to work with you. But if you're not willing to change your diet or lifestyle and you're not willing to take any supplements, I don't have a magic bullet. You know, looking back, maybe I could have said, okay, get rid of all your drugs and take Hawthorn Berry. But she might have had a heart attack the next day because she was on some things that were keeping her stable, right? The drugs could be just keeping somebody alive and they need to work with their doctor to get rid of it. But so you can make a decision that this person isn't somebody that I can work with, right? Or if they're very oppositional and they really do need some, you know, psychiatric care or something first, then you make recommendations. And that's why we have a lot of referrals in this network to help people. And that's why we support people in our coaching program for clients with a lot of resources, not just diet, not just lifestyle, but yeah. Yeah, it's challenging sometimes. And then you get those wonderful people come in and say, just tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. Right? Those are great to work with, right? Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Who else? Questions or comments?
Dr. Rita Marie is right that the bag of pills is just the tip of the iceberg. I was called in to help someone because they had clutter. So much clutter, and we started in the bedroom to get the clothes put away. And the reason the clothes weren't put in the drawers because when we opened the dresser drawers, they were full of jars of supplements. That's why the clothes weren't in the dresser drawer, because it was full of supplements. and they didn't know where to start. And we're going to find this more and more because of all of the stuff that is online and social media. And it's going to be education, education, yes. education.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a really good point, because there's a lot of folks and there's a lot of really good speakers on all the summits and stuff. There are a lot of them that are just really good salespeople, right? And they, you get off of a call with them and suddenly they feel compelled to buy this whole bag full of supplements because this person was so convincing. And that's where it's hard, because, you know, but Dr. whatever his name is said I needed all this, right? And maybe they don't need all this and maybe they do. So we have to really stay in our comfort zone of here's what we need. And maybe you do need that. So let's let you keep on that. But are you open to the possibility that maybe you don't need to spend $300 a month on that supplement, and that maybe we can help you with, you know, $100 worth of really good food? And when you pose it in a way like that, a lot of people are like, sure, I'd rather spend $100 on food than $300 on pills. We don't always have a clean, you know, a clean break like that. Let's see. Conversation about where she sees her life. You know, and the one thing we always start with is what's important to you, right? And I always start people with, what is your big why? What is important to you? What do you value? And where do you see yourself? Why do you want to get your health? Why do you want to lose weight? Well, because I want to wear my old clothes. Why do you want to wear those clothes? Well, because I want to look sexy. Why do you want to look sexy? Well, because I want to get some positive attention. Why do you want to get positive attention? Well, because my husband's always ragging on me. Ah, okay. What do you think would change if your husband wasn't ragging on you and you looked beautiful every day, right? He would appreciate me. How would that, you know what I mean? It's like you're digging to the feeling they're trying to get at, right? And then when you can get there, and then you can remind them, great, right? Here we have this crossroads. So you're at a party and here's the Cheetos and the Pringles and the Diet Pepsi. And here's the, you know, salad and some, you know, sparkling water, and you get a choice. So when you're looking at it like, yeah, the Cheetos and the Dr. Pepper for those folks looks really appealing versus salad and sparkling water, it doesn't look real appealing. But when you look beyond that, like, where do the Cheetos and the Diet Pepper and all that lead you to? More of the same. How's your stomach pain going to be in another year of continuing that? How's your weight going to be in another year of continuing that? So let's see that picture out here. How do you think you're going to feel and look when you continually choose down that path of the healthy food? Which choice do you want? And we help people to just continue to stay in that process. Yeah. And make choices that lead there. It's easy to make the choices that just are the same old, same old. But if you keep making the same choices, you're going to get the same results. And that's the part we have to help people with. Yeah. And the uncomfortable, this I want to address, right? We talk about getting out of their comfort zone, but we can take them a pinch out of their comfort zone. And then their comfort zone expands. We can take a pinch more out of the comfort zone, and then the comfort zone expands. But if this is the comfort zone and you try to move them out here, they can't do it in one fell swoop. Most people, there are some people who can, but that's going to make them feel ridiculously uncomfortable and they pop back in. But if you get them a little beyond their comfort zone and a little more and a little more, suddenly the comfort zone goes from here to here, right? And that's how we have to work with people. That makes sense? Anybody else? Is there anything else in here? Yeah, Donna.
I just wanted to say, like, so when I was trying to get my son to have a green smoothie, you know, you don't add, you know, a pound of greens to start with, right?
Right.
So, gradually add a little bit more and a little bit more. And I even did that with the protein smoothie when it was just chocolate. And I add just a tiny pinch, like an eighth of a teaspoon, and just keep adding more and more and more until, look at that. You're eating exactly what I'm eating and you're not fussing about it.
Yeah.
And it's, then he doesn't even realize what he's eating.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I'm comfortable with this. Oh, I can go do, you know, whatever's next.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's a great example. I was making smoothies for my kids and I would put the chocolate powder in and they were getting it. And I suddenly went, they're not getting enough greens. They're not getting, and I made one smoothie. This is all it took to get them off the smoothies. I made one smoothie where I added a lot of extra greens and it tasted green. And they're like, ew. And neither one of them would eat a drink a smoothie from me because they didn't trust me anymore. We lost trust, right? Now they're coming back to it a little bit, but we lost trust because it was this great chocolate shake at one point. And then there was this great chocolate shake with a little more green and a little more green. But then when it got like, ew, what's mom feeding me? I lost it, right? So you got to go slowly. You got to go really slow. That's a great point, Donna. Yeah, Lynn.
Yeah, I really appreciate that too, because now that my kids are a little older and I'm working on the grandkids, it's that same concept. So they have their own garden and the section of the garden. So they're involved in it. They've got some flesh in the skin in the game there, and it's kind of the same thing. So as we work with clients with their food choices and whatever, ask them what do they want, what kind of things do they want to eat, what kind of tastes, have them make their own menu plans. I know anyway, legally for most of us, we can't do a menu plan, but you know, they need to have skin in the game. Otherwise we're going to be more concerned about what happens to them than they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that too. And I also think that this, Janet brought this up earlier today on another call. It's basically, you know, what are their favorite foods and how can you help them to make their favorite foods in a yummy, delicious way? Like with just adding a little bit of this and a little bit of that, right? Where I was talking about go on the pizza and ice cream diet. Now I have great recipes for pizza and ice cream that they're not going to be for people who are real extreme, right? I have to tone them down, like extreme, like no, no, no. But that a lot of people are going, wow, that really does taste like chocolate ice cream. Like what I had for lunch today, which was a half a scoop of the collagen chocolate protein and a half a scoop of the almond protein and a whole bunch of ice cubes and some chocolate powder and some frozen zucchini with a little bit of water smushed in the blender. And it had the consistency of chocolate ice cream. And it tasted really, really good, right? And you give that to somebody, go, you want ice cream? You're like, I'm an ice cream fan. Oh my God, right? And that's a really good thing. Now, I could have, and I did this one day for myself, and I was like, this doesn't taste so much like chocolate ice cream anymore. I went, well, it's not green enough. Oh, and I put cordyceps in mine today. And some coconut and cashew powder. But one time I said, oh, I need green in there. You know, so let me put this big scoop of green in there. Oh, I need this in there. What about this herb and that herb? And I went crazy. And I started eating it going, I finished it because I wasn't going to waste it, but it wasn't the same enjoyable, lovely sensation, right? So the little bit is getting them, it's much better than them going and getting a container of Häagen-Dazs, right? So we work with them where they're at and then just try to move them more in the direction we want them to be. And Isabel's asking, have you used Vibrant Wellness Labs, the difference between Cyrex and Vibrant Wellness intestinal permeability? They do have similar patterns, panels. It looks like the Vibrant Wellness intestinal permeability may be a little more advanced than the Cyrex. The Cyrex just tests zonulin, actinomycin, and LPS. And it tests them, the antibodies, Ig, I think, AE, and three different antibodies, IgA, IgM, and I can't remember what the third one might be, but there's three, IgG, yeah. So they get the three of those, but I think with the Vibrant Wellness, they're looking at other markers as well, so it might be a little more advanced.
Yeah. Is that available in the lab, like for ERC clients, is Vibrant Wellness?
Yes, and I've been asking for maybe 3 years to have my team get those up on the site. Are they there yet? I have literally,
yeah, in my living room, Scott. I've given him all the information.
Stacks of st- stacks of kits for those tests that we were waiting on. Now, some of the tests are harder for us, you know, because we have to have the kit and we send it. Some of the labs, like Cyrex, we have to send the person the kit because Cyrex won't send it direct. Whereas I think Vibrant Wellness, I can't remember if they've changed that. They might.
Send it, Dr. Reno.
They'll send it directly to the client. Yeah, okay, so we need to, Mike, the kits are probably obsolete and expired anyway. But like Genova, if we order from Genova, we just contact Genova and say, you know, here's this person. Some of them have portals where we can just log in and put the person's info and it's done. Some of them we have to fax over, like Meridian Valley. Maybe they've changed it recently, but so each lab's a little bit different. Some of them will set up an account with you directly, and we've arranged that so that you can get accounts with several lab companies, and then some of them won't, and you have to order it through my page and site until you get, you know, unless you have a license, like as a nurse or a nurse practitioner or a doctor or whatever.
So ERC clients, how would you like them to proceed if I was going to recommend like a leaky gut test, intestinal permeability or other tests?
Write 15 emails to Scott.
Okay.
Say, we need this. We need this. Rita Marie said it was supposed to be on the site, but I don't see it. Can you help me? Oh, I don't see this test on the site. It's Vibrant Wellness. Oh, I don't see this. Bug him enough and he'll get it done. And I will get it. I will bug him enough. And Angelica, you bug him too, because you work with the labs and ordering the labs. So bug him for getting the Vibrant Wellness panels up on the site. He doesn't even have to do it. He just has to give the information to Jimmy, and Jimmy does it, who's a web guy.
Okay. So. Isabel, I believe Vibrant also allows clients go directly. They can order a panel.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So,
then have them go directly if that's the case.
Okay. That's easier. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Do they have to say who recommended them? Is that new?
Yeah.
It's been for a while.
Okay. Do they have to say who recommended it? It has to be an approved practitioner.
No. Really?
No.
Direct access. This is the way to go. I mean, the wave of the future is empowered self-care. Everybody gets to order whatever test they need through the lab company. If they know how to read it, they do. And if not, they find a practitioner who does. I mean, that's what we really, that's the healthcare of the future, is that everybody's in charge of their own health. We're there to guide them and to advise them, and not to, you know, not to say what tests they can and can't do. It's their body. They get to poke and prod it however they want, and pee and poop and spit however they want to have their body fluids tested. Yeah. Well, this is good to know, because, you know, I've been out of the loop. They came to see me here, and they, you know, I was like, oh my God, this sounds like so much work. Like, do I really have to do that? Do I really have to keep the kits in my house and then have somebody send them? You know, if that's the case, then I can't do this very much, because I don't have a team of people here to do it. And I don't mark them up, you know, other than whatever, $20 to cover the people that handle it. So yeah, that's good to know. That's good to know. So I just send them there. Yeah. Have them tell, you know, have them say it's from me, so they know I'm at least referring people, or from our group, you know. Okay.
Dr. Rita Maria, Lori asked if the recipes used for Shine are going to be available to attendees ever.
I don't know, because every year people ask that, and it becomes a very a lot of work, because we have to gather the recipes from Karen, who gave them to them. And then the chefs don't always use the exact recipes she gave. And then we have to compile them into a book and make it into a PDF, and then, you know, organize it. I think one year she actually, I said, Karen, you're welcome to do it. Just sell it to people for $10. And then she did. And then she put a note on the Shine page. So maybe we'll do that again. I'll say, Karen, can you compile these recipes? And they may be similar to last year's with just a few changes. So it may not be hard for her. But then she'll, you know, charge you $10 to get the recipes. Is that okay? Does that sound reasonable? Yeah. Yeah. Because we tried to do it. I try to be all accommodating, and I'm like, I don't have enough people to do all this, because we want it to look good. And, you know, anyway. So we'll check it out with Karen. Can you make a note of that, Angelica, to just ask Karen if she's willing to do that and sell the book? So I send people to her site all the time. She has all these $10 books that are amazing, you know, just amazing recipes. If you go to her site, which is myfoodfitnessandfun.com, you'll see a lot of those recipes in her different books. So she has one book called Low Glycemic Dessert Recipes, which is awesome. She has another one that's, I can't believe it's vegan. And it's like a lot of the different, you know, the soups and the stews and those sorts of things. And some of those recipes are in there. And then she has a lot of stuff on her site. I would just go shopping on her site. And then we'll see if we can get her to add that. She might even have the Shine ones up there. Although I don't know if she did it publicly or she just privately in the Shine group. But she's fine. And also write to Karen, go into the Shine group and say, Karen, your recipes were so great. Is there any way we can buy them from you? Because see, Karen will, like, she'll feel like, oh my God, I have all this work to do. And, you know, like all of us, she needs to make a living, right? And for her to spend 2 or 3 hours on doing something just to give away is, you know, it's a gift of love, but I'd also like to support her.
Actually, Shine 2019 already exists on in her store.
There you go.
For $10.
Good. She already did it.
Perfect.
Right. Perfect. We don't have to do anything. Yeah, that's perfect. She's getting there. Yeah. Okay, good.
That was fast.
That was very fast. Wow. I'm impressed. That's great. Yeah. Super. Yeah. So some of those, I want that cauliflower soup. Was it cauliflower kale? I want to do that one. Wasn't that amazing? Oh, yeah. And the one that has always been my favorite dessert is the lemon bars. Oh, those were heavenly. Those are so heavenly. Oh, and that just, oh, the thing we had at the, it's worth $10 just to get the recipe for whatever she made at the event before the event started. That, oh, and the last day we had just the NEPT group getting together and there was a dessert there. Oh my God, those little fudge things. So yeah, it's worth it for just those recipes. Super, super. Was there anything else, Angela? Where is she? Isabel?
Isabel's just had to leave.
Oh, she had to leave. Okay.
I have a question. So it's kind of half about me, half about just coaching theory in general. I've been studying, digestion module a lot, CMDS, and I'm really enjoying it. Thing is, I need to come up with a way because I'm having a little bit of chicken and egg syndrome. Like it seems like everything I'm learning about can cause each other. Like dysbiosis can cause leaky gut, but leaky gut can cause dysbiosis. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to figure out if anybody else like has a way of using process of elimination or history to know where to start with somebody who's presenting with a lot of general symptoms, because as we know, like the symptomology is very similar for a lot of these gut imbalances.
Okay. So if we're talking just the gut, here's my recommendation. You do the assessments, which give you an idea of the numbers in like the upper, the middle, the pancreas, the right. But start at the top and work your way down, right? If you've got identified dysbiosis and they're sitting down to eat in a rough and tumble way every day, their head is not aligned with their digestive. They're in sympathetic mode. So you got to get that going. Then you look at the teeth. Are they chewing or not chewing? Mm-hmm. Are they chewing really well? Ask them, do you have undigested pieces of food in your stool? I remember one of our ERC clients saying to me on a call once, because I feel like, I'm just not making enough stomach acid. Oh, why do you feel that way? I see undigested pieces of food in my stool. I said, oh, well, maybe you're not making enough stomach acid, but I think it starts up higher because the stomach doesn't have teeth. So the only place you can shred the food down to teeny tiny pieces is in your mouth. So we got to start there and chew your food because you're not creating enough surface area. So head, mouth, and then, you know, esophagus, if they are having burning pain, right? If they're having reflux, we got to work on stomach esophagus, which is the upper. We can't just say, oh, it's stomach acid. We have to heal the lining of the esophagus. because if they can't get the food down there and they're not making enough stomach acid, they're going to have dysbiosis. If the stomach doesn't have the right environment to become antibacterial, antimicrobial to kill off stuff, then they're not going to go. So I just go straight down. And then when we get down and we go, they have dysbiosis, but they also have leaky gut, you can work on them together. Right. If it's really severe dysbiosis, like they do the questionnaire and the number's really high, I would say start with the dysbiosis, you know, even a week or two in advance, and then work the leaky gut. Right. Because if the dysbiosis, these organisms are going to be producing these endotoxins like lipopolysaccharide and others that are going to keep destroying the gut lining. So if you start by trying to fix the gut lining, but you haven't stopped the bullets that are shooting through it, right? So that would be the logical order that I would do. Elimination, you can, even though it's the bottom, you can probably help people if there's easy ways to address elimination. But the thing is, a lot of times people think elimination means it's the large intestine, right? But I'm eating enough fiber and blah, and it could be low stomach acid that's causing that. It could be liver, right? The liver is not producing enough bile or breaking down the toxins enough, and et cetera. So they all kind of work. They do work together, but a logical order that way, because people jump right in. They go, just give me some supplements for my leaky gut. Give me some biocidin for my dysbiosis. When in reality, we have to address it in a top-down fashion. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And I agree with that approach. It's worked on myself. I've had like tremendous results from starting digestive bitters and chewing better. Like, it's amazing. Now, I did, like, the one person, it was a friend that I gave, you know, complimentary advice to. I did a formal intake with her and I did assessments. And yeah, I tried to get her working on upper GI. She didn't like that very much. She was like, I think I have a parasite. I'm really interested in a parasite cleanse. So yeah, she kind of wanted to jump, you know, leapfrog.
Right. And
over.
So who's in charge, right? That's where you have to say, well, that is great, but my experience and my training has said that if we don't address the upper GI first, the parasite won't ever go away.
Right.
So let's set the stage for getting rid of the parasite and we'll get to that. Let's just do this for the next week or two. And right. Then we can look at the parasite cleanse.
Yeah.
Right? Because what's feeding a parasite, right?
Exactly. Right. And I guess the conclusion I'm sort of coming to is if people aren't willing to work with you on root cause stuff, then maybe they're not the client for you.
Exactly. And friends who you're not charging, you know, generally are not going to take your advice all that well.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So own that. I mean, it's like we talked with Valerie earlier, right? Move with them. Like when there's choices, give them choices. Which do you want to work on first? Chewing or chewing? Chewing or slowing down while you eat?
Yeah.
Or, right.
Yeah. Like heart. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. I like that. Give them choices, but they still have to be like your choices.
They have to be choices that you know, are going to help, right?
Right.
I mean, certainly you can give them digested enzymes if they want to jump ahead. And you can give them some probiotics. I mean, you can give them certain things, but you can't give them in lieu of. So many people come in and they go, I don't know why this isn't working. I've been taking biocidin and enzymes and probiotics, and I still have this issue. Well, let's talk about what's your state when you're eating. Well, we're sitting at the table and the one kid has the TV on and the other kid is crying about this and my husband is complaining about work. Like, okay, let's try to solve the problem here, right?
Yeah, it's so true. And that was my experience exactly. I was like trying so hard to figure out the thing and taking enzymes. And finally, just when I finally got on my... just to slow down and take the bitters. I think the bitters are really great for a lot of other reasons too. So they like nourish the whole body. So there's probably secondary and tertiary effects of those, but just like, wow, it really, this stuff we teach, it really works. Like
it really works, right? Yeah. I'll give you an example from Tony. Tony's one of our coaches. She's certified. She says her people come in and she knows that if they're dehydrated, they have to hydrate. And so she sits down, she teaches them about hydration. She sends them off with the how to measure their water. She gives them all these strategies for getting hydrated. And then when they come back in, she says, how are you doing with your hydration? And if they say, oh, awesome, you know, I'm doing really well. I'm drinking my, you know, half my body weight in fluid ounces. Yeah, great. Then she moves on. If they say, oh, I'm up to 2 cups, but okay, so what's the problem? What's keeping you from what? And she explores it until the action item leaving that second visit is great. Now we're going to work on hydration, right? And they're looking like, but that's what we worked on last time. She goes, yeah, it is. But apparently you still needed more strategies to make it work. And until we get this part working, the rest of it isn't going to work. And then if they come back the third time and they still haven't gotten hydration, she makes them work hydration again. And I don't know anybody else that has that much confidence that they do that. I mean, I'm like, okay, yeah, keep working on hydration and let's work on this too, because I'm afraid they're going to, like, I paid you all that money and all you're telling me to do is drink more water. And Tony comes completely from the standpoint of absolutely, because I know the power and I know that if you don't, anything else I tell you isn't going to work and you're going to be wasting your time and money, right? So know what you know works. Of course, you're tuned into them. Of course, you're not going to make them take giant steps when they're ready for baby steps. Yeah, it's important. All right, we have about 10 more minutes that I can stay on. If there anybody else, yeah, Eva.
Yes, I have something I have to share with you because this is coaching one-on-one. I had to learn this lesson this week, actually. Okay. I had a client I've been working with, 70-some-year-old guy that I know from years and years ago when I was in my 20s. He's diabetic. His sister called and said, he's showing Alzheimer's, beginning of Alzheimer's. You know, he's getting forgetful and a bit of aggressive. So we started with the sugar balance and he was open. He was wanting to learn everything. His wife was on a call. They got, you know, and he was a slender man all his life. He's working out, so he doesn't have the typical diabetic look, but it's all about his vain vanity, you know, my Corvette, my clothes, my body. And he had, he sent me his blood work, which was almost a year old, but he said that's what he wanted to do. So I said, great, we're going to look at the blood work at the next session. And he only booked 2 sessions and he moved the session by a month and few weeks. So here I come to the presentation of this blood work that we prepared and wanted to review what he has done so far. And he was, and I forgot to ask what he wanted to work on. What was his objective of this call? And I went with my agenda after he started to argue with me that, you know, vitamin D, he was already at 100%. And I'm like, so what's your number? He started at 24. And he said, well, I'm almost at 100%. And I said, okay, so what is the number? And he said, it's 29. Because 100% to him was in the range of 30. From 30 to 100. So we got in this debacle and I was so flustered. I had to really step back and it was a difficult time for me to have to just because he was so aggressive and he was so just, you know, this is pharmaceuticals. They all tell you to take medications and you telling me to take supplement vitamin D, right? Because I wanted to bring it up. He's in pain. He has a lot of joint pain, muscle pain. So, and plus his sugar, he was, you know, the prosperendial sugar for him was in 200s, right? So there were some things that we needed to work on. And he was so upset because he just got a new blood work, but he forgot to send me the new blood work. So I said, great, we can prepare it for our next session. But because he takes, you know, the cheapest of everything, he's got a ton of money. It's not the money issue. It's what he sees value in. So he was upset because his meter was 20 points off from the lab. He got free lab work done by the company that he's still working for. And he said 3 minutes later, he went downstairs to his office and took blood work and it was 20 points higher. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, maybe your meter is inaccurate. You should probably test it with a different meter. Well, but this meter has cheap strips and everything else. It's all cheap and everything is cheap. So he was trying to force me to do review of his blood work right at that moment. And I said to him that, you know, and I said, I have to pay for a software to put all this thing. I mean, it feels like I have to give, you know, things for free sometimes, but I just felt like he wanted to use everything in that one session.
In the one, yeah.
But I didn't ask what the objective was of what he wanted to do, because I said, okay, give me three things from this new lab work. What is your hemoglobin A1C? What is your vitamin D? And what was your, I think he had some inflammation marker. I don't even remember which one he was telling me. And he said, actually, no, it was uric acid. It was uric acid, which was elevated. And all of them didn't change. And his hemoglobin A1C still was at 6.6. He lost 4 pounds, and he was upset over that, because he, you know, muscles were shrinking for him. And so he was like, you know, I'm happy with the way I am. But what was the worst thing for him? Because he's never seen a functional blood work explained, where he was out of range in many areas. He felt like it was his ego that was being stripped down to, he said, you're looking internally and I feel uncomfortable. So for him, he had a difficult time accepting the fact that there were some things out of balance that we could put in balance.
Yeah.
He was deficient in B12, almost, I mean, like, it was like really low. It was at 100% need of B12. But he's just, and he came positive for H. pylori. So he had a lot of things to work on, but he wasn't going to address anything at that point, because he felt so uncomfortable with the fact that this, he was imperfect.
Oh my.
So we parted kind of, you know, it was a very uncomfortable thing, but I send him a nice follow-up explaining everything step by step, what I was trying to achieve. And I wanted to know what his goal was, because now I'm on the other side. I'm not in front of a screen. I'm not emotional. I have to see what is his best for him, what he wants to do. So I increased calories, you know, with nuts and different things to snack on that were not high glycemic, because he wanted to eat pasta. He said, my pasta has vegetables in it. Look, it has vegetables in it. I said, how many carbohydrates per serving do you have in this pasta? He says 45. And I said, okay. So for you, because you show your numbers are in diabetic range, I said, you should, for any packaged food that you eat, you shouldn't go over 15 grams.
That's
the maximum,
generous.
Right? That's the maximum.
That's very generous for somebody with diabetes. Yes.
Right. So I just wanted to give you the scenario, right? Because I was in my state of the mind was what we have talked about when we set this appointment, and the intention for the appointment was to review the blood work and see how he was doing with the program. But he forgot about that.
Yeah.
He had a completely different agenda. And I was on my little path here, what I was going to do. So
what would you do differently?
I needed to ask him. I needed to talk to him a little bit more upfront about what he wanted to work on. What was his objective of the call for today and what he wanted to see happen for it? I think that's what I would do.
And what if he said something completely different than what you had in mind after you put all that stuff into the software?
I did ask him permission. I said, would you like to take time to go over that? He said, yes. So he did eventually say yes, but he was still in this aggressive approach to the fact that his vitamin D was already at almost 100% because it was in 30. So, you know, low testosterone, low vitamin D, high glucose, it's a perfect storm for Alzheimer's. And I talked to Dr. Hopkins actually about that, and he gave me some suggestions. So I said, would you like to visit with your doctor about this particular, Clomid? And he said, how to take it? I said, I can send you information. This will, he says, well, my sex life is perfect. I don't need any more testosterone. And I said, great. I said, you know, it's mind over matter sometimes, you know, with people.
Absolutely. And it doesn't mean, but here's the thing. I'm going to ask you, on that first call, when you finished it, did you say, okay, we went over this time. My goal for the next time is I'm going to run your labs. You did.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. And that's where I was going with. But because he moved the appointment by a month and a half, I think he completely forgot of what the agenda was.
So he pushed it out further out. Yes. Yeah.
Because his wife left and went to Poland, and he wanted to, and she wasn't there at the appointment. So it ended up being just him and I. And usually when she's there, she can kind of explain things in a different way. So he's not, you know, because I think his ego is getting in a way. Well, my ego got in a way as well.
I didn't put my ego
on a shelf. I was like, okay, you know. So that's one thing I have to really work on for sure. And I had all the good intention, but it just something went wrong right off the bat. He came in aggressive right to the call, and I asked him to breathe, take a breath. He was breathing with his chest. He couldn't relax.
What I'm hearing in your voice is I'm hearing some tension in your voice, or that may not be objective enough.
I did. And he was trying to explain why he wasn't going to do some of the things, because number one, he lost too much weight. He can't gain the muscle that he wants to. And he was already 100%. So he lowered to 2000 milligrams of the vitamin D. And, so it was like he came with all the walls around him. So I had to peel layer and layer by layer.
Yeah.
But I felt like that it was not a productive call at all with him. So, at this moment we have emails, exchanges of emails. So I just said, you know, I send him another cookbook that's available to him and his wife to experiment with low glycemic foods that, and he wanted that pasta. And I said, okay, if you really want that pasta, make sure you eat 1/3 of the recommended dose. Of portions.
So, you know, sometimes when that's what they want is pasta, is having an alternative, like konjac noodles.
Mm-hmm. I gave him all that. I showed him where to get it.
Right. There's a cauliflower lentil pasta that Cauliflower Food has.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like he was, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was, you're always going to come up with that. And the more you do, the better you'll feel. As long as you're doing what you're doing now, which is afterwards go, what could I have done differently? How could I have approached it differently? Right.
Yes.
And observations, right, about it. And I don't think that was the right thing. And maybe Lynn can help me with the right phrasing of that. But if you're noticing that there's, you know, a harshness in the voice, like saying, I hear a harshness in your voice, that's not objective. That's a subjective call. That's, you're judging it. Right.
Right.
So having a way to say, huh, I saw your shoulder lift up, your both shoulders lift up to your ears. You know.
Yeah. Just that reflecting back. Mm-hmm. So going back to what you said with using their words as much as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, reflecting, oh, look, I saw your shoulder. And this is something I'm continually working on myself. It's not about me. It's about them. I'm here to them. And like you said, when you notice that you get triggered, it's like, I got triggered. I'm going to put that over here to revisit afterwards. And then we'll go into it. But right now I'm here for this person.
Right.
This is their time. This is their sacred time. I think the more we can realize that this is sacred time for them, and how can we honor them with where they want to be?
Right.
And sometimes you also need to tune into your intuition. And like, I remember one time just saying to somebody, and it was a first call with them, and I'd read through their history, and I said, I just intuitively, something seemed like there was something. And I just said, is there anything else in your history other than what's written here that you think I need to know? This was supposed to be a comprehensive lab appointment, 90 minutes of going through all the labs. We didn't look at any labs that call, because at that point it triggered an emotional release and some stuff she hadn't talked about before that we were able to let go. And what I did was I came back to it. We had about 15 minutes left. I said, we have 15 minutes left. feel like you've made, you know, a lot of stride here. And, but we did come here to talk about labs. I'm happy to do that. But my feeling is that you'd be better served by just working through this particular piece. And she was like, oh yeah, oh, totally. Right. So sometimes you do have to change gear. And when you ask a question that gets you an unexpected answer and gets you down a totally different pathway than you were planning to go, and being able to be flexible there. And sometimes when you do tune in, like he was very, he was hostile, as you put it. He was feeling, he was defensive maybe, you know, and I'm noticing a tone in your voice that was, is different than what I noticed before. You know, do you know what that's about? Right.
It was all about, he had to get up in the middle of the night and pee twice because I asked him to drink more water because he was very dehydrated on the blood work and everything. And he was only drinking 2 cups of water a day.
And that's where it goes back to sticking to your guns like Tony does. And maybe you're not as comfortable as she is going 3 visits of just saying drink water, but really saying.
No, he was angry because he was getting up and I tried to tell him drink it earlier. And throughout the day, don't just put it at evening when you get home. So,
I hear that it wasn't pleasant for you to have to get up. I understand.
Yeah.
And I'm very concerned about the hydration level in your body. And there's no way we can bring balance, you know, and restore your muscle tone. What is it that he wants, right? You know, he wants the muscle tone. He wants, you know, and restore your muscle tone unless we have proper hydration. So it's always a good to keep in mind what is it that they want the most to help them to make a decision, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The muscle tone came at the last phrase, so I didn't get that until the end.
And that might be the biggest thing that he was dealing with.
Right. It was all about the image, because he was imperfect. And I got that, but I handled it a little bit. I don't think I handled it well. So
I would say that if you're still working with him and he's still in a client-patient, you know, practitioner relationship where he's paying you to do that, then you can continue the email support.
Right.
And if you continue to support him via email without renewing.
I won't. Contract. I just followed up with it because I felt like it was a uncomfortable session. So I kind of softened things in the email so I could read over it because I felt I didn't want to just drop it and leave
it. No. And if you want to continue with them and you feel like you can help him, you can say, look, you know, I feel like it was a little rocky here and there were some things you didn't necessarily like that came out in your blood work. And if you want my support, here's how we can move forward.
Right.
And if you don't, I understand. Yeah.
Right. I have one more question off the topic, Dr. Inamori, because I know you're going to have to run. You mentioned at Shine a tincture for gallbladder stones.
Chancre piedra.
Okay.
Chancre piedra. But the stuff that we were talking about earlier with Isabel, you know, stone softening stuff. Right, the malic acid.
Yeah, she's doing malic acid. She's doing 16-hour fasting, this lady is, because of the pre-diabetes. And she's 10 days into it. And her sugar today, glucose reading in the morning, was 84, which is really good. So she's doing really well. She did have a little bit of a heart flutter today, which was making her uncomfortable. So I upped her electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's what it was, or she wasn't eating enough calories. I'm not sure.
It might have been. It might have been any of that stuff. There might have been a stressful situation. Magnesium. If she has a history of heart type stuff.
She doesn't.
As you say, hawthorn berry is a very good tonic for the heart, for the blood pressure, but also liver. So if somebody's having some, you know, feeling like there's some liver stagnation and also.
Definitely, you know, liver stagnation for sure. She's taking Tatka for the liver drainage because she's doing a lot of the green veggies, green smoothies.
Oh, that's good.
But she's having headaches.
So. Does she have, you know, you said she doesn't have a history of heart stuff or blood pressure, I'm assuming.
No.
Okay, and this is the first time she's ever had the heart flutter thing.
Yes.
Right.
But she has had hysterectomy 20 years ago, so no hormones.
Did a hysterectomy? Yeah, okay. So that's something to keep in mind if somebody has that. But electrolyte electrical conduction stuff with electrolytes, definitely.
because she's also increased her water like to the maximum.
Okay.
Whatever. So I think she's flushing things out.
Yep. But see how that goes. And if that works, then awesome. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Great. And another positive thing, I have a guy that started off 3 months ago, diabetic, and his fasting glucose this morning, I got a text message. It was 87.
Woohoo! Good job. Way to go.
He's doing really well.
This stuff works.
Yeah.
You know, it really does work.
Yeah.
Right. And yes, you're going to have the difficult people that don't want to do it and then have some other blocks. And, you know, those are the things. And you know, we have access to Laura's stuff to help us with that and Kimberly's stuff, which the new people, you get that as part of the program. And those who have been in for a while have been, most of you have been through it. And then those of you who haven't, you know, Laura made a really nice offer to get it for really inexpensively to go through all of her stuff. So
thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody. I still have one more call to go. One of my favorite clients, but I got to go. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. I'm going to unmute you all. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Let me see.